Everybody poops. Poop's always gross.
That's a fantastic book.
It is a good book.
Top three or five kids' books, for sure.
Yeah. And one of the points of that book, if I might be so bold as to say that had a point, is that, like, hey, you know, this is a normal thing. Not only do all humans do it, but every animal does it as well. So,
yeah.
And like nosebleeds, I would venture to say 99.9% of humans have had a nosebleed before.
Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today, what is today?
I think it's the 10th.
Today is the 10th, July 10th, 2024. We are back in town after a trip to Florida to watch the Copa America game between Chile and Canada, which we'll talk about. The Copa America finals are set. Colombia and Uruguay just wrapped up their game. We'll talk about the Europe Championship between England and Spain and the tournament up to that point. Our trip down south. Matt will have a track update. Wimbledon finals are coming up Sunday. So we'll give a shout out to Carlito and maybe talk about that a little bit, maybe more next week. Lots to talk about, though. It's been a couple weeks, or at least a week.
Yes, yeah. I feel like it's been 2 weeks because we missed 1 week.
Yeah, because we... I want to say
2 weeks.
Because I was... Yeah, it feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, so... Oh, I guess it could have... Yeah, I don't know.
Because we recorded right before
we left to Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we think that it's been 2 weeks, and we're happy to be back. Lots happened.
A lot has happened. And we're also, baseball-wise... All-Stars teams have been announced. All-Star game is, I think, next week. So we'll probably talk about that next week. But got to kind of preview the soccer tournaments. Let's start with the Copa America because that's the game we went to. So we haven't really talked through, you know, the last round of group stage games and obviously the knockout rounds. And then we'll do the same for the European Championships. And was there a football thing I wanted to talk about? I can't remember.
I thought I remember. I think we got to talk about U.S. soccer just a little bit.
Yes, U.S. soccer. Before we get into all that, though, we do have to start, of course, with the ick of the week.
Absolutely, we do.
Now, this one I could see, depending on the situation, as kind of valid. Getting a situation dependent.
Yes.
Getting a nosebleed.
Well, that just seems unfair to the young man with a nosebleed.
Yeah, but what if it's, like, gross and stuff, you know?
Well, it probably is. Everybody poops. Poop's always gross.
That's a fantastic book.
It is a good book.
Top three or five kids' books, for sure.
Yeah. And one of the points of that book, if I might be so bold as to say that had a point... is that, like, hey, you know, this is a normal thing. Not only do all humans do it, but every animal does it as well. So,
yeah.
And like nosebleeds, I would venture to say 99.9% of humans have had a nosebleed before.
I've never had a big one. I've had a couple, like, really small ones.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like, some people have them more regularly than others, but
yeah.
At some point, I would think almost everybody's had a nosebleed.
One time we were on a hike when we were kids up at Stuart Falls in Provo, Utah, and some girl got a nosebleed from the altitude. Do you remember that?
I do not remember that.
Yeah, because I was like, what's going on? And the counselor, this was like some kid's youth thing. The counselor was like, the altitude makes you get nosebleeds sometimes.
Interesting. I don't know.
I remember that.
I don't do very good with altitude. I went to Peru and we were in a village of like 12,000 feet. I was very, very sick. And I could not breathe when we hiked King's Peak at all.
Yeah, King's Peak kind of, it was pretty, but it wasn't like the best 3 days of my life.
Yeah, it was. Well, I would venture to say that there are more scenic hikes in Utah.
Yeah, it is more of a bucket list thing, like, you know, you did the tallest one.
Yeah, which, like, I don't know. I think I think the top of mountains are overrated. I think mountains look more beautiful from underneath than they do from up top. Obviously, it's nice to be in and kind of about the mountains, right? Yeah. But I think that the actual summit view is overrated compared to some of the other views that you can have of a mountain.
See, that's why I like hiking in Arizona, where I'll be this weekend, is because the longest hike is like 2 miles.
Yeah.
And so it's not like some of these hikes here where you're like dying.
Right.
Like they're like actually way hard. It's just like a chill walk, you know, elevation change. And you get a cool view of the cactus and the city and stuff. So it's more like a good walk than like a hike. Mm-hmm. But Phoenix is a cool view to have a city of. Or a cool city to have a view of.
Yeah. Yeah. Phoenix is a nice place.
Yeah. So I love to. I actually hiked quite a bit more. Part of that was because after my ankle surgery, hiking was the only thing I was allowed to do.
Right.
And walking. But it was a fun place to hike and walk and stuff.
Yeah.
Not as many mountain lions. I think zero mountain lions compared to Utah.
That's always a plus.
Yeah. Or.
I can't imagine there's any bears.
No, maybe I'm in like Flagstaff, but not in Phoenix.
Yeah, Flagstaff there could be. Yeah. Snakes that you gotta worry about?
They're hypothetically, yes. I saw a turtle once, like a massive shelled turtle. It was kind of cool.
That's very
cool. Like literally like a foot and a half from the trail.
That's fun.
I think hypothetically they're snakes. I mean, they're called the Diamondbacks, the baseball team, so they're probably rattlesnakes and stuff.
You'd think so, yeah. Did I ever tell you I saw a rattlesnake on the just the Provo River Trail kind of up a canyon?
No, interesting.
Yeah, I think there was a bunch of people stopped and taking pictures and stuff, and I was kind of like, well, I think I'll just... No, I think I passed that one, and then I saw a second one, and I was like, you know, maybe just today's the day to go home.
I think that's two more than I've ever seen. I don't think I've seen a rattlesnake live.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only time I've ever seen one.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, rattlesnakes are never something I've been like. Like, I was hiking in southern Utah, and I was like uber scared of cougars.
Uh-huh.
Or we were walking in Florida, and I was freaked out by the crocodiles or alligators.
Right.
Like, so there are animals I'm very afraid of. And, like, if I saw a snake, I'd be afraid, but I'm never like, watch out for snakes, you know?
See, to me, like, a snake is an animal that, like, it could be anywhere. You know, I could be walking, and then it could be right there, you know? Yeah. So
maybe something I should be more afraid of than an alligator.
I mean, alligators are sneaky, and they're low to the ground, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the one that we did see, well, we saw several, but the one that was, like, all the way out of the water, freaked me out.
It did, yeah. Well, and the truth is, you know, if a mountain lion does not want me to see it, then I'm not going to, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like, if you can see it, you're probably okay, weirdly enough.
Yes, yeah.
In Costa Rica, where I was surfing, no one told me this until I got down there, and would have loved a heads up, but this town I was surfing in, and apparently, like, throughout Costa Rica, there's so many rivers there.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, crocodiles will go from, like, one river through the ocean to another river, either for like different hunting or to lay eggs or whatever. So there are crocodiles like in the surf break.
Are they crocodiles or alligators?
They're American crocodiles.
American crocodiles.
And they did look different than the alligators we saw in Florida.
That's interesting.
It was weird. I could, after seeing so many gators in Florida and then so many crocs, when I say so many, I think I saw four or five crocodiles in different situations.
Yeah.
But they do look different.
Interesting. Yeah, that's something. Yeah, I bet like if I had two right next to each other, I'd be like, oh, those are different. I wouldn't be able to tell you which is which, but.
Yeah. But no, it was freaky. And like, I was talking to the lady, asked everybody, but like the lady at the surf shop, I was like, so let's talk about the gators. And she was like, well, they're out there. Or I was crocodiles. She's like, they're out there. I was like, well, that's fun. And she was like, well, they usually come mostly, obviously, right by the river. And when it's rainy and the water's like muddy. And then I was like, well, where's the best spot to surf? And she's like, right by the river. And it was like, that was like the best waves. And then one day I was out there and it started raining and the water got muddy. And I was like, there's enough people out here where I'm probably fine. But I was like double looking over my shoulder.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
And it's tough though, because surfing, you have to be looking at the ocean.
Yes.
And not at the river.
Right.
And, like, when we're in California, literally any other time I've been surfing, I haven't thought about a shark.
Right, yeah, because it doesn't seem to be really a shark place. I've never heard of anybody even seeing a shark.
Costa Rica?
No, or California? Santa Cruz.
I, well, like, once in a while, there are, like, the little sharks there, but, like, those don't attack humans.
Yeah.
And, like, the big ones, like, I think there was one in Moss Landing, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But like, they're...
I thought that was, like, kind of further out. Like, not next to the coast where people would be so much.
That's
what the video looked like to me. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think, like, anytime it's in the bay at all, people, like, it's... known, and you just don't go in the water. I wouldn't go in the water.
Right, yeah.
Like, I think they do a good job, like, oh, there's, it's in the bay at any part, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, so not a big deal. Remember you missed the one that washed up on shore when we were a little kid?
Yeah, we were like, you know, maybe 13, 14, 15, something like that.
Yeah, I'd say 13, like junior high-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So I it was the last day of the trip. I was taking a little nap. Everybody went down to the beach without me, which is okay. But then a shark washed up on the beach, and then nobody told me. I would have liked to have seen
that. I don't think we both had cell phones at that time. So you probably didn't have a cell phone with you.
Well, yeah, but somebody could have run up and been like, hey, Matt, come look at the shark.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. It's kind of sad, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then we could see, like, its parents, like, out in the water.
Yeah.
Because it was a little baby.
That's sad. I know I've told you this, but the most horrifying thing I've ever seen, we were in nearby Santa Cruz, a beach called Pajaro Dunes. It was a really good running beach. So I run to the end of the beach, and there is a skeleton of a seagull sticking out of the water. Its head got buried in the sand, like right where the waves are kind of washing up. So a wave would come, and it would kind of push the body forward, and then the wave would come back and drag the body back. And then his seagull buddy was right next to the skeleton, just picking away meat from the bones.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
His head got stuck in the water or in the sand?
Yeah, I didn't even know that was really possible.
That's a terrible way to die.
Yeah. And and that would have been sad enough, but it was the cannibalistic seagull that really got
Yeah,
me.
So you think seagulls are great. I don't think they're that good.
I think they're very, very pretty.
Weren't there a lot of jellyfish on that beach? Was that a different beach?
I didn't see any, but...
There was one beach where I was running, and I felt like I was dodging jellyfish quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't remember that. It's possible that I ran in a different direction than you did.
The saddest... I don't know if this is most saddest, or it's definitely not horrific, but... Do you remember the chicken I ran over with my bike in Chile?
Well, certainly the story, yeah.
So, I ran over a chicken with my bike, and, like, I think I, like, broke its neck, and its buddy, like, went over and was, like, pecking at it, not in, like, let's keep moving, let's get up, and I was, like, super sad.
Yeah.
And the one, it was just, like, bark, bark, and then the buddy was, like, you know, walking over and pecking it, so, not a cannibal. Well, just that reminded me of your seagull story.
Yeah, man. See, animals are smart, and they have friends, and they've got feelings and stuff, you know?
It's so crazy. So in Costa Rica, like, I went on this, like, animal tour. It was just me and this guy named Christian, who's super friendly. And we were looking at these different kinds of frogs, and he's like, these ones, like those green ones that are, like, kind of the classic rainforest frog.
Yeah.
We found some of those, and he's like, these guys hide under the tree. They're nocturnal. Blah, blah, blah. They camouflage hide so predators don't eat them. And then there were some venomous ones that were, like, red with blue legs, like those kind of frogs.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, hopping around. And he was like, these ones don't need a hide because the birds know they're venomous. And I was like, how? How do the birds know?
Right.
Like, I get that, like, one would know if it ate it and died. But, like, how do the babies know?
Yeah, or, like... Well, that's the thing. We'll have to ask Mom this, who's an anthropologist, which is, you know, does a lot with evolution. So, like, to me, when I hear that, I think, oh, there's a gene that says, I want to eat green things, but I don't want to eat red things, right? But that seems like it's crazy to think that that's a mutation that could even happen.
Yeah, so it's on, like, we're very religious and Christian. But it's, like, impossible not to believe in evolution,
in my
opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's just data for it.
Yeah, it's just, like, objectively true. Now, and not to make it like the role God plays or doesn't play, you know, that we can talk about at a different time, probably not on the podcast.
Not on the Double Take with Matt and Jake
show. I mean, we could if we wanted to, but it is just interesting. Or like there was one like bird where like its beak had developed a certain way, where it was like, it was actually a toucan, where it was like serrated.
Oh yeah.
And it's like just the weirdest stuff.
Yeah. Birds are crazy.
Or like there are monkeys, like the tails could like support themselves.
Yeah, or like hang on stuff. Yeah.
And yeah, that's that's not even that weird. I'll try to think of some weirder like things, but it's just so crazy, like how it's also weird being in like a jungle where it's like, oh, there's a lot of wildlife out here.
Yeah.
A lot of animals.
For sure.
A lot of bugs.
Yeah, cool. Well yeah, Costa Rica. See, sounds like a really cool place.
Yeah, I kind of just went from waterfall to beach to national park to waterfalls in national parks to surfing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was great.
Yeah, seems like a dream.
Yeah, the food wasn't that good, except their steakhouses, the food was very good. There was an Argentinian place where I was actually watching the Canada-Venezuela Copa America game. That food was great. Like, top three steaks I've ever had in my life.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, Copa America final, Colombia, Argentina, they were in the same... Argentina, Canada. Anyway, let's back up. Group stage. We were at the Chile-Canada game. Alfonso Davies, and then we'll go through kind of the games and then go to the Euro. We'll actually talk about sports now. Alfonso Davies is very good, was my takeaway from the Chile-Canada game.
He's really good, yeah.
He wasn't the best player I've ever seen, but he's definitely up there in any sport with how much better he was than everyone else on the field.
Yeah. Well, what I noticed is, like, there would be several times where a Chilean was behind him sprinting to get the ball, and he has the ball at his feet and just looked so easy and relaxed. I was like, oh, these dudes are never – they're going to run as fast as they can. They're not going to be able to catch him, even though he's the one dribbling the ball.
Yeah. So fast, but, like, so smooth and so controlled. Yeah, just – stronger, bigger, faster than everybody else out there.
Yeah.
Canada's really good. I think Mexico sucked and the USA, you know, obviously had a dud. Canada, I think, is clearly the best CONCACAF team. At least they perform the best in the Copa America.
Yeah, they definitely perform the best in the Copa America. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to say they're better than the US. I mean, I know that our result was obviously disappointing. I think you have to factor in the red card and also not pretend like Panama's not a really good team. You know, they got to the Copa America for a reason. They've qualified for the World Cup recently.
We knew that was going to be a tough game.
Yeah, well, and then in the next round, we would have had to beat Uruguay, which there was kind of no chance for because Uruguay's a really good team. They've been killing it in their World Cup qualifying. And so I still think we can say the U.S. is a better team than Canada, or I would bet on the U.S. if we did play Canada.
I would bet on Canada. I was pretty disheartened from the performance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, wildly, wildly disappointing. You know, U.S. soccer was obviously disappointed. Firing Greg Berhalter. They just kind of had enough.
Yeah, and that was as of, you know, a couple hours ago, so no replacement yet, obviously. The thing that, you know, bums me out is our best player is Christian Pulisic. Very good at Inter Milan. Should have played more at Chelsea. So no issue there. But who's our second best player? Is it Forlagan?
Him, Reyna potentially.
Reyna, who can't get minutes at Dortmund or Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, West McKinney.
Who Juve can't wait to get rid of.
Yeah.
There's, like, all these players who, like, are not doing it. Now, Haji Wright didn't play that much, but he crushed it at Coventry this year. Josh Sargent did really good at Norwich this year. Those are championship clubs. Pulisic's the only one in a top-flight European league that's, like, a key member of his team.
Yeah, well, and you actually told me about this, and I think it's kind of an important observation that Matt Bessler said. Like, when they went to the World Cup in 2014, a lot of them were in MLS, but they had like 12 MLS captains on that team, so everybody had a really important role. And so, like, these guys, if they're not getting the playing time, if they're not having the experience of, you know, having the team revolve around them, it's hard to find who's that player who's going to do that for the national team, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, people are just so worried about our players being in MLS. And I just think MLS is a better league than people think it is. I know it's not like Europe, but, like, there's a lot of countries that do really well in the World Cup that have their players not play in one of the big five leagues.
Yeah. With that team, with the 2014 team, I had no doubt that Jozy Altidore, Jermaine Jones, Matt Bessler, Michael Bradley, Kyle Beckerman, that they were going to fight, you know, and, you know, do everything. I don't believe this USA team has that same grit. You know what I mean?
Which is very disappointing because this was supposed to be the golden generation.
Like, Michael Bradley was the captain at Roma.
Yeah.
Like, was he? He is also, I think, someone underrated from a U.S. perspective. We can talk about that a little bit later.
For sure, yeah.
These players are hypothetically more talented. I would take that 14 team. Maybe it's recency bias, but, like, if I'm picking someone to go into a fight, I'd rather have the 2014 team than this team and not even thinking about it.
Can I have a different coach than Jurgen Klinsmann if we're doing this scenario?
Yes, and you can also have a different coach than Greg Berhalter for this team.
Because the thing with Jurgen Klinsmann is he coached like I'm a manager when I play FIFA. Just change the formation all the time. Players didn't know what they were doing. Did not get the best lineup out there because he was so busy trying to counter everybody. So, yeah. I wouldn't have Jurgen Klinsmann, but, yeah, I really like that 14 team. I thought they did a lot of stuff really great.
That was the peak. Oh, boy. Blue Jays just took the lead. That was the best. Like, USA hasn't done – it's been 10 years. That was the best thing that's happened since then.
Yeah.
Now, as far as U.S. coach moving forward, you know who I want who is probably unrealistic? I'm going to mispronounce his name, but Joachim Löw, the German coach who replaced Klinsmann, who was there for like 10 or 12 years.
That'd be fun.
I think that'd be really fun.
Jurgen Klopp's available.
Is he? I don't think he's available for $2 million, though, that we would pay him.
You don't think we'd increase the budget? I mean, maybe you've read something I haven't.
I'd love him to.
I feel like if Jurgen Klopp said, I will come and I want to make, I don't know how much soccer coaches make, $10 million, that's $3 million more than Nick Saban makes.
I would pay more taxes for that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I saw a thing that New York City paid McKinsey, I think it was $4 million. It might even been more than that, to do a study on is garbage better in the street or in trash cans. I'd rather spend my money on Jurgen Klopp than that. And I know I wasn't paying that money specifically because it was in New York.
Right.
But the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
You know who I saw someone float around who I actually would be interested in was the Saudi Arabia coach from 2022 when they beat Argentina in the group game.
I don't know anything about him. I assume he's a good coach.
I honestly don't remember his name, but he's a tall guy, great head of hair. I think he was British or English. Yeah. He's white. He was Caucasian for sure. Sure,
yeah. Could be interesting.
Yeah. Just somebody. Somebody, you know, honestly, I've said this with Manchester United as well, but even if they get someone like Roy Keane for a year who is like, is he the best coach? Probably not. Is he going to change the mentality? Yeah. I mean, I'd be in on that. Now, yeah. I know we only have 2 years for the World Cup, so that's not as easy as it is with a club team. But
yeah. Well, that's kind of the problem that I have with firing Berhalter is it feels like, to me, this tournament is not the reason to fire him. I know that we had to do better. We had to have a good tournament. But, you know, ultimately, you know, you get a red card, play a man down against Panama, who's a good team. I don't think that that's the coach's fault that they lose that game. And then they were just never going to beat Uruguay. They just weren't going to. Now, maybe that's the thing that you say, well, if we're going into the 2026 World Cup and we want to have success, then we have to think we have a chance to beat Uruguay.
We had zero chance of beating them.
Right, yeah. And so if that's the thing, and if U.S. soccer is looking at that and saying, geez, Uruguay's good, but they're not the best CONMEBOL team.
Well, no, they lost their, based on this tournament, they beat Brazil but lost to Colombia today. So they're, I guess you can say they're the third best based on this tournament.
Yeah, so certainly, you know, and I probably before the tournament, I would have ranked, and this is partly to do with World Cup qualifying, but I would have said Argentina, Colombia, then I would have said Uruguay.
So you still would have them ahead of Brazil.
I would have them ahead of Brazil. Well, yeah, Brazil's just, they've had, you know, probably their worst World Cup qualifying campaign ever right now.
Yeah, it's crazy because Vinny is arguably the best player in the world.
Right.
And he's just a different player for Brazil.
Yeah.
Completely than he is for Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Colombia, so they get a goal like 38th minute, something like that. And then right before halftime, their right back gets a second yellow. So they're down to 10 men for the whole second half. And they still hang on. Normally, their thing has been they're scoring five goals, smashing opponents, you know, exciting, flying football. But they also show the ability to grind out the 1-0 game and win. Uh-huh. And Uruguay is good. You know, they got Darwin Nunez. They got Valverde, plays at Real Madrid. Like, they do have good players. Yeah. And Colombia showed that ability to win a different way. Do we think they can beat Argentina?
I think they can beat Argentina.
Now, they're not going to have their right back. And I'm not super up to date on their right back depth chart. But it's always still a concern.
Yeah, it's not ideal for sure. You know, I'm sure they're going to get a good player, but does Messi play on the left side for them, or does he play in the center?
I think he does whatever he wants. Yeah. I think more on the left, but I think he'll float over. I've seen him on the right. Even when I watched him at Barcelona, he just kind of went wherever he wanted to.
Right, yeah. So you probably, you know, it's not good to have Messi running at your backup right back.
No.
And so, I don't know. I think, but, you know, I think Colombia is still going to be able to score a lot of goals. And so I think if they score three goals, I think Argentina might be in trouble.
Has Argentina conceded in this tournament?
I
would need to check. Ecuador the very end of that
yes,
game.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of Argentina, honestly, this tournament.
So they have, obviously, Messi. Di Maria over the hill, but still a good player. McAllister plays at Liverpool. It's DePaul, I think, the long-haired guy who plays for Atletico Madrid.
DePaul.
Lisandro Martinez, center back, Manchester United, who actually had the goal in the Ecuador game.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're good, but they're not, like, on paper as talented as some other teams. Where Colombia, their thing is the sum is better than the parts.
Yes.
Whatever that phrase is.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see. I think Colombia has a chance. I feel like the tournament is, like, trying to get Messi to win.
Right.
So I think it'll be tough. And they're playing in Miami, which doesn't really matter, but everyone's going to be cheering for Argentina anyways.
For sure.
I'm going to pick Colombia. 28 games unbeaten, hottest team in the world. I'm going to pick Colombia.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to join you in that. I think that, you know, this is the thing that if they played 10, if it was a 7-game series, I'd pick Argentina. But, you know, Colombia, I think they can definitely get a game, and they've only got to get one game.
They got the confidence. If they're tied after 90 minutes, they'll go straight to penalties, which is – it's not a crapshoot, but
– Argentina's got a great – I think he's faced 24 penalties in his career and saved 12, which is absurd.
Yeah, I don't like him, but he is a good player.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, you know, I think, you know – In the World Cup, he saved like a last minute France goal to avoid a penalty shootout.
That was a big save.
Yeah, I just think he's really, really good. So it'll be fun to see Colombia attacking him. You know, Messi's going to be there, so obviously fun to watch. So, and then I don't know what I'm more excited about. I mean, I think, you know, this is as exciting of a South American final as you could get. But then England, Spain, you know. A lot of history there.
Yeah, Spanish Armada. rematch.
There we go.
Yeah, Spain's been awesome. So, you know who has not been awesome was, well, A, England, but France. What a disappointment.
Yeah, one goal in open play in the whole tournament.
That's so embarrassing. Yeah, it was terrible. And, like, Germany, honestly, I feel like Germany should have been at least in the semifinals if the bracket had gone differently.
Right.
Like, they were playing better than France. Them and Spain were the best two teams in the tournament, and then Spain got that goal in the 119th minute, I think, to end Tony Cruz's career, which was super sad.
Yeah.
What a player. Yamal, 16 years old, hit banger goal against France in the semifinals, blazing at Barcelona. He has, like, braces.
Yeah, no, that was... He's a phenomenal player. That was one of the best goals I've seen.
It's crazy.
In a couple of years, I think. It was perfectly placed.
16-year-old to have, like, even just the strength. He's not the strongest guy, but enough to be able to play professionally against, like, these grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, that's going to be fun. I mean, we know England's history in finals. Do we think they can finally break through here?
I think Spain's a better team. I think on paper England's better, but Spain has been, I think, the best. Or you can say Germany was the best in the group stage, but Spain, I think, has been the best team in the tournament.
Had the most goals, second fewest conceded. So
they just play so well together.
Yeah.
Like when I watch Spain, I see people that are having fun, being creative, know where each other are. When I watch England, it seems a little robotic.
Right, yeah.
It seems a little tense. But their players, like Declan Rice is awesome. I love Kobe Mainoo. Bellingham, obviously, La Liga Player of the Year. One of the best players in the world. Harry Kane, I don't love, but he is a good player, good goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
John Stones, one of the best center backs in the world. I wish he didn't play for Manchester City. Pickford's an awesome keeper. Like, they're so good. Talent wise, and like Trent Alexander-Arnold's on the bench. They got Kyle. We were talking about this yesterday or today, maybe. Kyle Walker, Trent Alexander-Walker, Kieran Trippier, Luke Shaw, who's not fit but one of the best left backs in the world. Like the roster is stacked. They just don't play well together.
Okay, now here's a scenario for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
So Spain wins. I think Spain wins.
Okay.
Gareth Southgate gets fired. Even though he's very clearly had more success than any other manager in the history of England.
By a lot.
Yeah. Did they make a move at Jurgen Klopp?
England.
That's who I would try to hire.
I thought you were going to say Gareth Southgate to us.
Also, you know, I wouldn't hate that, honestly.
He's proven to be able to win knockout games. And he's actually someone who, when I say penalties are a crapshoot, I feel like he's proven that they're not.
Right. Yeah. Now, so I think the only thing that I would like to see with Southgate is I feel like he's more of a defensive-minded manager. And when we talk about our best players, you know, it's in some order. Pulisic, Balogun, Reyna. You know, offensive players. And where the U.S.'s problem has really come is I don't think we score enough goals to really be a competitive team.
I never thought we were going to score against Uruguay before, right. Especially after their goals. Yeah. Like, oh, they're just going to pack it in. We're not going
to
get one.
Yeah, so I would like to see a more offensive-minded coach, especially because, like, we're a young team. We should be moving around. You know who I'd really love is Jorge Sampaoli, who coached Chile in 2015.
What is he doing now?
Oh, let's Google it. But just, you know, that really aggressive, full press, just run full speed of the goal all the time. I think that we've got the youth and the talent to be able to play that kind of soccer.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Southgate, because we fired Berhalter. I feel like part of that was pressure from fans. I feel like they can't do that and then hire Southgate. And he's probably not even going to get... You can't get fired if you go to two Euro finals in a row, even if you lose, right?
Yeah.
If you're... Like, he's won more knockout games than England did from 1968 to whenever he got hired in 2014 or whatever.
Right.
Which is crazy. I still can't believe Beckham and Lampard and Gerrard and Scholes and Michael Owen and Rio Ferdinand and Gary Neville won, like, one knockout game. Like, that coach should be in jail.
Right.
Whoever he was.
Yeah.
What a waste.
So Sampaoli, it says he was most recently the coach of Flamengo in Brazil.
Sounds like he's available.
Sounds like he's available. I would be so thrilled if the U.S. hired Jorge Sampaoli. I think that would be a great move for the team and the players that we have.
If he makes them play hard, I'm in.
And I think he would. I think he can.
Who? I think the most likely hire is Wilfred Nancy.
As a manager?
Yeah.
How old is it? Did he retire already?
Yeah, he's coached like Columbus or something.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, let me... Yeah, he's coach of the Crew.
Really? I did not know that.
Because people are saying Chirundolo, and they're like, oh, we need someone bigger. I think Chirundolo has been the best coach in MLS the last 5 years, 4 years. I'd rather have Nancy, though. I feel like Nancy's a little more proven and has more European experience, obviously.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting.
Or, yeah, just someone. I don't know. So, Euro final. Who do you think? You got Spain or England? Sounds like you're leaning England.
No, I think Spain for sure.
Okay. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely Spain. Yeah, I don't know what I've said that makes me think.
I don't know. You seemed excited about England. I
don't know. I didn't feel it. So.
Yeah. I think Spain will win as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that, I mean, Spain, you know, I think that, you know, Messi's going to be a little bit older. I think Spain might be an interesting, you know, early pick for the 2026 World Cup, honestly.
Well, before the Euros started, we said the reason I didn't pick, so I don't want to put this on you, the reason I didn't pick Spain to win was because I thought they were so young with Yamal and Pedri and all the young players.
Uh-huh.
And they're showing that that's not a problem.
Yeah. So then, yeah, 2 years from now, they're going to be 2 years older.
Yeah, getting, again, like, on top of playing for Spain 2 years and playing at Barcelona and Real Madrid, not like all these clubs, matters. Now, Carvajal might not be playing. Nacho will be in Saudi Arabia, so who knows if he's still on the national team. But attacking-wise, they're going to be fine.
Right.
And I feel like they'll have some defenders. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, Portugal was another disappointing team. The first game they played in the group looked great, and then they were just disappointing the rest of the way.
Yeah. So, but they won at least one group stage game, right?
I think they won
penalties, but
like one knockout game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat like Georgia, I think. Somebody like that, and then they lost to France on penalties.
Yeah, which is, I don't know.
I saw something. So Joao Felix, who I actually really like, he missed his penalty, and Portugal lost. I saw some picture. It said like Yamal ended Tony Cruz's career, and Joao Felix ended Ronaldo's career.
That's funny.
It was sad. No, so we both got Spain. We both got Colombia. It sounds like.
I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Colombia's a little bit more hopeful. But I definitely think they can do it, but I'm kind of hoping they do it. Spain is like, I will be kind of surprised if England wins.
Yeah, they just, today was their best game, getting that second goal.
Yeah.
Their first goal, I'm not sure was a penalty, but the second goal was great.
Beautiful goal, yeah.
But even like watching that, it was like clunky. It's like, I don't know what's going on here. Where Spain is just like, it's easy for them. Playing together is easy.
Yes.
I do have a Euro/Copa America related top five. Ready?
I'm ready to go, yeah.
So I got one player from each of the finalists plus a fifth wildcard player.
Cool.
You have to rank them from 1 through 5.
Perfect.
Messi's not on here.
Messi's not on here. Very good.
So England, I got Bellingham.
You know what? I like Bellingham a lot, so I'm. I saw Birmingham FC play before he played there. Obviously, so I didn't see him play, but I'm gonna put Bellingham at one. Just gonna go right out the gate.
It's a safe bet
with my one.
Ballon d'Or finalist.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, James Rodriguez.
James Rodriguez.
Colombia.
I love James Rodriguez. I do not think he's the same player as he was in 2014.
That Colombia 2014 World Cup, one of the funnest teams ever.
Oh, that was so great. That was a lot of fun.
I got Falcao was in that, not the Real Madrid-Barcelona game, but the other Rayo Vallecano game I saw.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, not the same player, but it's cool to see that Falcao cool still. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't want to get stuck. I think I'm actually going to put James Rodriguez at five. I'm being aggressive.
Five. Interesting. Today. Okay. I don't think you'll be unhappy with that, depending. There's one other player you might. Third is Yamal, the 16-year-old.
Let's put him. He's very, very good. Let's put him at three.
Okay. Number four, last guy from the finalist team, Argentina, Lautaro Martinez.
Lautaro Martinez. I'm going to say he has had more goals, and his goals have been clutch in this Copa America. So I'm going to put him at two above Yamal.
Okay, I think you're going to regret that based on the wild card, but you tell me. So you're putting this guy at four. Alphonso Davies is the wild card.
Alphonso Davies.
Who you gave a lot of praise to.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate that. Honestly, look, Lautaro Martinez is a really good player. He's played really good for his club. He's had some clutch goals for Argentina, even though he's not starting. So I would switch Alphonso Davies with Yamal, though.
See, I would go. Yeah. Lautaro's good. I feel like he was pegged as the next Messi, and obviously he's not that, so he gets maybe a bit underappreciated.
Right.
But he's very good at Inter, and he's been great. I think he's Argentina's leading goal scorer this tournament.
Yeah, even though he's come off the bench a lot of games, yeah. Which is really cool.
So you had Bellingham, Lautaro Martinez, Yamal, Alphonso Davies, James Rodriguez. I feel like two through four are relatively close. But I think we both do Bellingham 1, Yamal 2. And then I would maybe do Davies 3. And then I want to put James Rodriguez 4, but I feel like, yeah, you got to put Lautaro there as far as 2024.
I would have Yamal 4. For me, it's Lautaro or Alphonso Davies in that 2-3. But
oh, both of them ahead of Yamal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who, you know, again, has been really, really good. I just think that today, if I needed a goal, I would rather be getting it in to Lautaro.
Okay. So you actually were pretty close then to
where you ended up with. Yeah, I'm pretty happy it worked out.
Perfect. Well, happy then. Glad it worked out. Perfect. So next week, we'll final recap of both teams. I'll be in Arizona during the weekend, so I'll be back next week. We'll have the Wimbledon final, probably some baseball as well. We'll have to look at the calendar there. You want to do your track minute, and then we'll wrap up?
Oh, yes. Yeah, real quick, just as we get close to the Olympics, I want to talk about track. So the U.S. finalized our track roster. A couple important things happened. James Corrigan out of BYU got third in the steeplechase at the trials. Did not have the because to qualify for the Olympics, you have to get top three in the trials, at least for the U.S., but you also have to run the Olympic standard, which he had not run. So if he couldn't do it by a certain time, they were going to put somebody else in. And so he, I believe his race was on Monday. So he scheduled a race for Saturday and then took, I think, 9 seconds off his personal best to get the Olympic standard. So that was great. Another important person to mention, Whitney Orton Morgan. I might have mixed up Morgan and Orton. But anyway, she was fifth in the 5,000, but the two people ahead of her wanted to run. One of them wanted to focus on the 1,500, one wanted to focus on the 10,000. So she got to go in, which is really great because she had patella surgery earlier this year and she didn't even think she was going to be in the Olympic trials. So two great stories about BYU people getting in. So those are people we're going to watch. And then as we get closer, we're going to do an actual, you know, who are the people that I think are going to actually be in contention for the medals. But yeah, Olympics are the best. I'm very, very excited.
Olympics are the best. You'll be hearing more of them as we're getting closer. So, look forward to that. Appreciate everybody listening per usual. Subscribe, like, review, 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Had a big show this week, big show next week. So, we will talk to you guys next week.